Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com, Amazon, and select retailers nationwide.
All right, welcome to The Bracket, episode 156. Today we are debating what I think is going to be kind of a hot-button topic, who is the best stand-up comedian. This is an All New York episode. The Chicago boys have been, like, super wrapped up with a bunch of different shit. So we have Clemmer, we have Francis, myself, Glenny Balls, Robbie Fox, and Nate, big New York crew. And I think we jump straight into it.
I will say the dynamics here are awesome because Francis, comedian, Clemmer, very old.
Bruv.
Glenny Balls and Robbie, very young. Me, just a fan of comedy. You, I guess the same as me, but I think we have different tastes, so
yeah.
Should be cool.
We do. We actually have very, I feel like we were talking about some of the comedians earlier, like we have very different comedic tastes, which is good for this kid in this sense. And Glenny Balls is like Theo Von's best friend.
Correct.
Also helps here too.
I haven't talked to Theo in a while. I love you, Theo.
Like a few weeks. Yeah.
I love Theo.
Yeah.
A few hours.
You fly private with him every other week.
I've never flown private with Theo. I wish I'd flown private with Theo.
But before we get to that, let's get to our first sponsor of the day. New one. One that I actually like. I want him to actually send me some shit. Pepper Palace. Known for small batch, handcrafted, all natural creations. Pepper Palace brings you the best in hot sauces, barbecue sauces, seasonings, wing sauces, salsas, and more. Over 90 store retail locations where you can try before you buy with a free sample every day. From fiery heat seekers to flavor explorers, Pepper Palace covers everyone's palate with sauces and seasonings from wild to mild. Visit a store near you or shop online to discover your next favorite sauce. Save 20% on your next order by using code BRACKET. I'm a big sauce guy. I love sauces.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Nothing.
Oh yeah, Glenny is like the number one sauce.
Glenny has a sauce bag
I've
on
been
his desk.
For years,
he does.
I do it. My sauce bag. I've been saying for years I want to do a sauce cookbook.
Yeah, you should absolutely.
Just sauces.
Sauce is great. Marty believes there's sauces under the earth.
Oh, there's sauces to be discovered.
Yeah.
There is no
he
doubt.
He believes they that. Live under the earth, these sauces.
That is just him being kind of dumb, but yeah. Oh. I mean, there might be. Anyway.
It's a nice thing to think about.
This is like a damn near impossible one to kind of seed because it's so subjective.
Yes.
But I did the best I could. I got it vetted by a few people that not on this panel, so hopefully that kind of helps a little bit here. And our first match of the day is the number 12 seed. Mitch Hedberg. This is one where I don't know. Are we all semi-familiar? Because and for the sake of this episode, I'm going to play some clips. If we're
probably
not
the only one old enough to have seen Mitch Hedberg in person,
like, actually alive.
Yes. Live?
I told you my Mitch Hedberg story. We had tickets. It was Stephen Lynch, who I don't know if people know who he is. He was like he played very graphic. I don't even know, like over the top songs on piano. He was opening for Mitch Hedberg in D.C. We had a snowstorm that day. They canceled it, rebooked it, and he died between the time that I was supposed to see him in the rebook. Very sad. Very sad.
But he is very funny.
It was bring the funny. Vibes down, Nate. Jesus
it's,
Christ.
It's my Mitch Hedberg story.
Are we all familiar
with one?
Hedberg's, yeah, very funny.
Yeah, we're all familiar enough with him.
Yeah.
And he's going up against number 5 seed, one of the all-time greats, Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh.
Rodney Dangerfield, just one of the all-time funniest guys. Just so quick. So like his delivery is so unique.
And this is just based on their stand-up, not like
based on
all,
we're trying to, in this case, try and stick it only to stand-up. And that kind of made seeding this hard, too, because some guys are more like general entertainers versus stand-up guys. You know what I mean? Like, you know, not every comedian is a great stand-up or vice versa. But in this case, I mean, Rodney Dangerfield, one of the great all-time stand-up guys. And also, I think I like his movies. I feel like you were...
I love his movies. I mean, Back to School is hysterical. Caddyshack. I mean, he's some really great stuff in Rodney Dangerfield.
So Mitch Hedberg versus Rodney Dangerfield. Let's start with Nate.
Taking Mitch Hedberg, one of my all-time top five comedians. If I don't, you said his name as if people wouldn't know him. I'd be surprised if people didn't. Maybe just from like everything is gif-able that he ever said. Yeah, sure. I feel like he's, you know, he's been dead for maybe 20 years now. I think he's still relevant as a comedian. I love him. I'm a little mad that he's only a 12.
Mitch Hedberg?
Easy Mitch Hedberg for me. I think I missed out on Rodney Dangerfield completely. Obviously, like, Caddyshack's very funny and stuff, but as, like, a comedian, I think Mitch Hedberg has 20 bits I could rattle off of the top of my head. Rodney Dangerfield, he gets no respect here, but...
I mean, you literally...
That's the only thing that... Yeah, that's the only thing I could name from him, really.
Glennie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest Hedberg guy. I definitely cannot name 20 bits by him. I feel like he's considered, like Nate was saying, you'd be crazy to not know Mitch Hedberg. I think he's way more of like, you have to be a real stand-up comic fan to like know a lot of his bits. But I'm a Dangerfield guy. Like, I mean, he's got the vibe. I love saying to people, I don't get no respect.
When Hedberg said that a duck's opinion of him is reflective on if he has bread or not, I thought that was like the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. But, still is.
Yeah, no, Dangerfield for me. I like Rodney a lot.
I'm with Glennie. As some about Dangerfield, it just tickles my fancy.
He's a vibe guy.
He's a big time vibe guy.
He's a guy. He's a guy. Obviously, he can't walk into this room right now. He's passed on, as has Hedberg. Yeah. But it's more just like he seems like almost like a James Gandolfini to me, where he had like an aura around him.
Yeah. Everyone that I know that's ever had told stories about him, they're all like, "Oh, he was the absolute best." Yeah. I mean, like, light up a room.
You heard the Eddie Murphy story about him?
I don't think. Oh wait, where he's like, "Oh, who knew?"
I think like Dan Soder says it. I believe it's a fucking really funny story.
Yeah, he I think the story was like he went to a club that Rodney Dangerfield was at, met him in a bathroom, and he was like, after he had done a set, and Rodney was like, "Hey, this comedy thing is all for you," and he was just like, "All right." And then like a few years later, he had blown up, and he ran into Rodney Dangerfield again. And he's like, "Oh, who knew?"
Yeah, I think he was like peeing out of urinal next to him. He was like, "Guess I was wrong."
Yeah, yeah.
You actually have a pretty good impression.
You and Dan Soder also has a great
insane one. I saw Dan started doing Cat Williams the other day.
Yeah.
Hey, very funny.
No, gets no respect. Woman of color.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Francis.
I'm going to go with Rodney Dangerfield.
Whoa.
I like Mitch Hedberg a lot. And interestingly, both comedians are more similar, I think, in their humor than you'd think, because so many of their jokes just come as a very surprising punchline. But I think Rodney Dangerfield moved the needle in comedy more than Mitch Hedberg did, and he was kind of a pioneer of a style and super original. So
Hedberg might not have had a chance. Like, he was getting on like that 70s show and just getting into the mainstream that he tried to stay away from for a long time. He just wasn't into it.
Even Rodney, it took a while for.
It took a really long time. Rodney was very old when he hit it big.
Yeah, I think if Mitch Hedberg hadn't died prematurely, he would have been a mega star. Yeah.
Yeah, I also think like their delivery too is kind of similar in that like it's a lot of like segmented.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's not like a long storytelling.
No, it's very similar. Do you guys know Stephen Wright?
Yes.
So Mitch Hedberg is, I think, a darker version of Stephen Wright. Very funny, but that's very similar. Talking about these like absurdities and like using kind of joking with the English language a bit.
Right.
So, Clemmer.
Yeah, and for that reason, I'm gonna go with Rodney.
Yeah, of course.
Why of course?
I feel like the younger person... And,
I'm not that fucking old, man.
No, I feel like they're always fighting...
I'm not like 80
years
old.
No, but I feel like with you, they're always going to fight an uphill battle.
No, I mean, I saw Mitch Hedberg in person. I never saw Rodney Dangerfield in person. But for the reasons like Francis said, like when you talk about like pioneers in comedy and talk about people who... It's just very hard to put Mitch Hedberg ahead of, in my opinion, like Rodney Dangerfield, who literally like changed the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just to clarify... It's strictly personal favorites we're voting on, right? It's not like who's the best comedian.
Objectively best. Who do you think was the better stand-up comedian?
Oh, okay.
Think about that one.
See, I'm more of a Mitch Hedberg guy, but I know for a fact Rodney Dangerfield is way more impactful on comedy as a whole.
But I think it's whoever you like more.
Yeah.
Okay, also, I want to mention, I'm less than 10 years older than Nate. Nate and I are not that far apart.
Nate is getting old.
Yes, he is.
Two different generations.
That was a body bag right there.
That's closer than you might want to say.
Just two different generations.
Rodney Dangerfield, too, that I always think is respect that a lot of people don't realize. He like got old. He got famous when he was like 40.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is cool.
Took him a long time.
Was the same way. He got famous when he was like 38.
So Rodney Dangerfield is going to move on, and now we have the 4 seed versus the 13 seed. The 4 seed is Richard Pryor, one of the all-time greats.
Oh my gosh!
He's going to be
wow.
And this is the thing about this way: if he's at number 4, like how many giants you got to beat?
Yes,
get ahead of him. One of the all-time funniest guys. I mean, beyond, and there's another guy who obviously great in stand-up, and also I think transitioned to Hollywood pretty damn well. Like I like pretty much every movie I'd seen him in. Maybe not like at the same level as some of the other guys we'll see on here, but still. And he's going up at number 13 seed, a newer addition. but a guy that's had I would say at least three like really good like banger specials. We talked about him a lot when we were just kind of trying to see this out. John Mulaney.
Oh, geez, this is gonna be a hard bracket, dude.
John Mulaney has just been he's so goddamn funny. His delivery is great. His stories are great. He's great punchlines. Like everything about him has been very funny. And another guy who's just in skits and everything else is still very good. Great writer as well. So Richard Pryor versus John Mulaney, Clemmer.
I mean, New in Town is one of my favorite all-time comedy albums, period. I think I have to go Richard Pryor here for a number of reasons. Obviously, just the fact that his stuff holds up really well today. Just broke a lot of ground. And even if you watch them, like, I like to watch the old SNLs, like, from 75 to 80. I just they're on DVD. You can go get them, and you can, like, watch them in their entirety with the music and everything. And his stuff, like, the stuff he has with Chevy Chase, like, still hits today. Like, his comedy was not only of its time, but also ahead of its time at the same time, which is really, really hard to do. John Mulaney's like a personal favorite of mine. Like, if you told me I can only listen to one CD, who would I rather listen to, or one, you know, stream one thing now? I'd probably maybe listen to Mulaney. Maybe if I had to pick one album for the rest of my life. But like Richard Pryor meant more to me. And like, and not even counting the movies, which you mentioned, like he's very funny. All those movies in the '70s and eighties, like Moving, The Toy, are both very funny movies.
Rooster's Millions
is funny. But yeah, I'm gonna go Richard Pryor here.
He also
This is much tougher than probably should be for me.
He also fucked Marlon Brando, right?
Well,
allegedly,
there's rumors.
I don't know if that was that alleged. I thought that was just confirmed.
I don't. I mean,
someone said it.
Marlon Brando is.
He didn't have the penetration footage.
No footage. Yeah,
it's very sad. Richard Pryor got MS. He wasn't that old. And like I would have liked to see like what that last act of his career would have been if he hadn't gotten sick.
So one for Richard Pryor.
This is going to be just me, you know, not being a contemporary fan of Richard Pryor. I don't know if his work has resonated with me. I may not be enough of a comedy historian.
I say go with your heart, don't go.
It's Mulaney for me, but I feel like I'm wrong about that.
Yeah,
but it, like I because I know what a titan Richard Pryor is, and he's often listed as being by comedians I respect the greatest ever. It's him and Carlin 1-2 for most people who know comedy, but for me, just because I haven't gone back and watched the old tapes enough, it's John Mulaney. I think John Mulaney, for me as a comedian, is the person I would desire to emulate in style the most. I think his jokes are unbelievable. They're so smart. They're not mean at all, which is so rare. And, yeah, John Mulaney, you know.
Not really dirty either. Like, he's usually pretty clean.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I'm so glad we split our vote, because everything you said is like, I feel that, you know what I mean? Like, I could have got Mulaney and then I would have had the same exact reaction you had. Yeah. So I'm really glad we split our vote.
I think in my own grading here, I would go with Mulaney as well, but it's because I'm going with my heart versus brain here. Like, again, same thing. Like, obviously a mega titan in the world of stand-up. But if you're like, same like you were saying, throw this guy on an island where you get this guy's discography or whatever forever, I'm picking John Mulaney.
It's one Mulaney, but if I have the whole library, then Pryor, if that makes any sense.
See, I would even say Mulaney. Because I resonate more, I guess, with him than some most stand-up.
Go back and listen to it, though, because a lot of stuff does really hold up, especially the stuff like race relations and all that stuff. He's amazing.
One of the last ones I watched was him saying like how white guys curse differently. And he's like, you guys woke up and you're like, oh, gee Williker, like whatever it is. And like, that's actually the old school version of it, but it killed me. So two for John Mulaney, one for Richard Pryor.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I got comedy fraud saying it, but I got to go with Mulaney too. It seems like it's like me saying, oh, I think Miguel Cabrera is a better hitter than Stan Musial because I grew up watching Miguel Cabrera instead of I didn't see Stan Musial play. Whereas obviously I know Stan Musial, like Ted Williams, is historically better than Miguel Cabrera. It's just I wasn't there to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, I have to go with Mulaney. I mean, I love Mulaney. I think he's very funny. And like, even just like podcast clips too. Obviously he's a funny dude, but a lot of people are just naturally funny. He's so naturally funny. His delivery is so funny. Just the way he speaks, the way his voice works. So I'm going to go with Mulaney. But once again, it's weird because you know, obviously Richard Pryor should be ahead of John Mulaney.
Again, it's go with the heart. Don't go with like just strictly brain. You know?
That was sick. That was a good baseball analogy.
That was really good.
Mulaney, easy. I think Mulaney, he has so many funny specials. Even I loved his last special talking about rehab, talking about the intervention that his celebrity friends held for him. Like, he is so funny through different like versions of himself as well. I thought the last special was like a very different take on John Mulaney. It was still so funny. Mm-hmm. Richard Pryor, unfortunately, I missed out on completely.
Yeah, I mean, almost a lot of the special,
like, even the movies that you just named, I had never heard of any of them.
Moving in the Toy.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, or like Brewster's Millions.
Brewster's Millions is more Philly.
Yeah. Interesting crossover here again. Two guys that had major drug moments in their careers and continued through them. Famously, Richard Pryor lit himself on fire as a result, I think, of a heroin episode.
Freebase, yeah. I think he's right about it, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So, John Mulaney.
Yeah, same reasoning as everybody else. It doesn't really matter who I say because Mulaney already moved on. I Salt and Pepper Diner, John Mulaney, when I was like in, I don't know, sophomore year of high school, whatever it was, that changed the way I thought about comedy forever. Like, just very long story. That's kind of what put him on the map originally, I think. I think Mulaney is unbelievable, but it's Richard Pryor. Also, we're on the same boat. Like, we know Richard Pryor is the guy, but we just didn't grow up with it.
We all got to do some homework on Richard Pryor.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you haven't had a chance, like, definitely stream his stuff or check out some of his specials if you can find him streaming.
Now we have the 9 seed versus the 8 seed. The 9 seed is one, and we had like a lengthy discussion about this too when we were talking about seeding. Norm MacDonald, where with Norm, I think of him more as like not as much as like a solo stand up act versus being like his appearances on other things, if that makes sense. But those are still stand-up sets. You know what I mean?
I think of him as stand-up.
Stand-up.
Yeah, he's the best stand-up I've ever seen in my life.
Stand-up is unbelievable. Yeah.
And every time I watch that, it's so funny. It's I was just like watching for the sake of this one, him talking about like Germany, like, and visiting Germany for the first time. It's delivery, his writing. It's just everything about it is so damn funny. And I threw him up against, like, I would say, like, maybe culturally one of, like, the stand-up guys, Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, man.
As the 8 seed.
Fuck.
Jerry Seinfeld, who just, as much as people say his act never changed, he did the same material, which I think you mention a lot.
I don't mention that. I love Jerry. I'm the biggest Jerry fan you'll ever find.
I remember you mentioning, like, his routine hadn't changed really over the course of like many, many, many years.
Well, his whole thing was perfecting it. He's like a scientist with it. Jerry's thing, the reason talking about stuff that isn't age well, like the 70s with Richard Pryor, we talked a lot about race relations, who got very, and Carlin, who always kind of pick apart government. And then you needed a break from that. And he had this observational humor, which I know a lot of people kind of mock now. It's like, oh, it's so corny, observational humor. Maybe it is for younger audiences. But in the 80s, it was like that hadn't been heard before. Like, you know, tearing apart kind of the little minutiae of life hadn't happened. And he was the best at it.
So Norm MacDonald versus Jerry Seinfeld, Nate.
This is really hard, dude. Oh, God. Seinfeld. I love Norm so much, and it's almost like it feels bad. But I'm of the agreement that I like Norm more, like Weekend Update Norm over his stand-up Norm. Fuck, that's a really hard one.
It's a hard choice.
It's Seinfeld for me, though.
Seinfeld, Robbie?
We're just doing stand-up, yeah. Stand-up.
Yeah, so like I like the show Seinfeld better than anything I like from Norm. But as stand-ups, like, Norm definitely can make me laugh way harder than Jerry Seinfeld can. So I'd go Norm.
Norm?
I'm going to go echo Bob's sentiment and go Norm here. Like, I love Seinfeld, one of my favorite shows. I fall asleep to it every now and then a lot. But
obviously, he's not just Jerry, like, writing the whole show. Like,
him and Larry. Yeah. Those last two seasons were just Jerry, mostly.
Yeah, Larry left the last two seasons. But Norm is... I also consider him... He's a great stand-up. I also consider him on, like, just as you mentioned, talk shows. He's just so... naturally fucking funny.
Yeah.
Which I do think that counts for something if we're talking about stand-ups. Just like the way they talk, their mannerisms. And obviously Norm, the way he speaks is so fucking
funny. Norm's 9/11 bit is probably my favorite thing ever done. Oh
my God.
So I'm going to go with Norm as well.
Blood and bone.
I do think it's like just how naturally funny they are should be considered as well.
Yeah, I would go with Norm as well. Just he's so effortlessly funny. He's also like a super brave stand-up comedian, I think, too. Like he like dedicates to a bit. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say to a fault is maybe the wrong way to put it, but like he'll be like, I'm making this joke. I know it's funny. If you don't get it, like you'll figure it out eventually. You know what I mean? And I respect that a lot. I respected it a lot out of Norm. So funny. And he's one of those guys. Anytime if I'm like on a whatever Twitter, TikTok, or YouTube or something, and like a clip of his comes up, I watch it to completion. No matter what it is, I'll stop what I'm doing to watch.
Come?
I will jizz to completion to Norm MacDonald's face. Yeah. All right. So 3 for Norm. Francis?
To me, Seinfeld is sort of classical music. He is the Roger Federer of stand-up comedy. Clean cut, suit, surgical, precise, effortless, makes it look easy, just everything dotted and, you know, crossed and... so classy. I mean, he's the personification of class in stand-up. always played in these beautiful theaters and stuff like that. Norm is more of an everyman comics comic, and I think a lot of comedians would say he's their favorite comedian. It just didn't seem to matter what was going on in his life. His pursuit of success seemed secondary to his enjoyment of performing,
yeah,
and telling jokes and writing jokes. And as much as I revere and respect Seinfeld, fundamentally, Norm makes me laugh harder. I'm going Norm.
Another one for Norm. Norm's going to win, but Clemmer?
I've been very lucky. I got to see both of them multiple times do stand-up in person, and Jerry made me laugh a ton. It was incredible, but Norm made me laugh harder than Norm McDonald, so I got to go to Norm.
You told me you saw him twice, right? And like, he crushed you both times?
I saw Norm twice at Caroline's, and both times. I don't know if I ever laughed as hard. He told a joke, a quick one, where he was, imagine if you killed yourself and you left a note and you just blamed your barber. How would that change that man's life? And he goes into great detail about it, as only Norm can. It's just, and the timing and the delivery is just perfect. And just, what an absurd thought. And just so funny.
One of the funnier things I've ever heard about Norm Macdonald, Artie Lang says it on a few talk shows. He's talking about how one time they were all at a party, like in the late 90s, and he assigned Andy Dick to watch Chris Farley at a party. and he goes away for like 20 minutes, and he comes back to, and Artie assigns Andy Dick to watch him. And Artie comes back after 20 minutes, who knows what Artie was doing. And Artie comes back and he goes to Norm, he's like, dude, where is Chris? And he's like, oh, he's in the bathroom with Andy Dick. And Norm just goes, fuck, I hope he's high.
Effortless. So Norm McDonald's going to move on. Now we can do our first play-in game. First play-in option. This is another one. It's kind of tough to figure out how to seed him in this. Anthony Jeselnik, we talked about him a lot. Nate's like the number one Jeselnik beater.
Am I?
Here, at least.
Oh, I was just saying I like his new special.
Oh, I thought you were saying you were just a huge Justin.
No, he has a new special out like last week. I watched it. I thought it was very good.
Hubs, I know, said liked him too, but he's also like super, is it sardonic is the word, I guess, like very dark. Like, I think he fits that sense of humor well. Bernie Mac, who is his great stand-up. Bill Hicks.
Bill Hicks.
I gave you Bill Hicks for this.
Thank you. He deserved a mention in the playoff plan.
I'll let you in. You said he was ripped off by Dennis Leary.
Yeah, Dennis Leary completely stole his act, and poor Bill Hicks got cancer and died very young, and then Dennis Leary just was off and running. I they were different people for sure. Like Dennis Leary was more charismatic, but Bill Hicks, the hyper-intellectual comedy from Dennis Leary had in like the early 90s, a lot of that's Bill Hicks.
It's weird to think of him as hyper-intellectual because like, in my brain, I think of him as like the I want coffee-flavored coffee guy.
Once Bill Hicks died, he could rip him off anymore, then he went to become the coffee guy.
Yeah. After that, Shane, just, I mean, we need to include Shane. If we don't include Shane in some capacity, we're gonna get fucking demolished.
He deserves to be here.
He's extremely funny. I've loved both his specials. He's very, like, super, super funny. Obviously, you know him well. Dave Attell, also another guy I feel like deserved to be mentioned. He's very, very, very funny. And then Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers, this is one where she's like on the top, most of these like top fives and stuff, and I'm like, I know her mostly from like the red carpet interviews and things like that, which were all very funny. But then I watched some of her stand up and I'm like, damn, she's really fucking good stand up as well. Never really put it together. So we'll start with you, Clemmer. Jeselnik, Bernie Mac, Bill Hicks, Shane, Dave Attell, or Joan Rivers?
I'm going to go Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers, especially being a female comic at that time, was tough. And just
white knighting over there.
I'll tell you, if anyone wouldn't have wanted to have a white knight, it's Joan Rivers. Like, she was
very not
ruthless.
Correct.
She was a strong, independent woman.
Did not give a fuck. And then there's a great documentary about her right near the end of her life, how she just couldn't stop working. Are you making faces at Gladys? You don't like Joan Rivers?
I'm busting your balls.
I like women.
Red carpet.
Joan Rivers. No, not the red carpet stuff.
I take Amy Schumer.
No.
Her stand-up is great. If you have a chance, check out the documentary where she just could not stop working. She loved doing stand-up. She loved the act of it. And like I said, she was about as mean and ruthless a comic as you find, man or woman or otherwise. Like, she was fierce. Now, Joan Rivers made me laugh a lot, like, my entire life.
One for Joan Rivers.
This is going to be a homer pick. I'm going with Shane, and I have a reason. It reflects a little bit of my reasoning behind the Richard Pryor, John Mulaney thing. But basically, Shane is so contemporary. He's writing about the things that are happening that we're all experiencing. He's got a great Trump impression. And as somebody who is the exact same age as he is and has worked in the same rooms, and I just am kind of baffled at how much better he is than I am at exactly the same thing when we're talking about the same things. Does that make sense? Nobody humbles me more than him. Because the gulf between us is so great, and we're working the same amount of shows in the same rooms, and yet his jokes are just that much better. And it's kind of like one of those things that you just accept, that some people were put on this earth to do a certain thing, and he is put on this earth to do stand-up comedy and be better at it than everybody. And it just, I don't know, it just doesn't even seem like it's that hard for him.
His act seems so effortless, too. Like, yeah, it seems so train of thought, like, just like, this is what this guy thinks about the world.
I also think that we know he's going to be one of the great comedians, yeah, and we see it so early, yeah, in his career that who the fuck, how many more years of this do we get? You know what I mean? Like 15 more years of prime. Like for him to be so good so early in his coming out party is just like, there's no slow burn here.
Yeah.
There's no early special of Shane Gillis that isn't going to age well, that's going to look like rookie season stuff, as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Shane for me.
Out of this grouping, I think I would also do Shane, because I think Jeselnik, I've never connected with Jeselnik on like a fundamental level. Like all of his stand-ups, I've never really, I don't know, I just don't gel with his style of comedy. Bernie Mac, I do. Bill Hicks, I don't really know. Clemmer has introduced me to him now. Dave Attell, I thought was very funny. Joan Rivers, I think is very funny. I think none of these people have made me laugh harder than Shane, and maybe that's just because Shane's comedy special just hits me at the perfect age grouping and all that shit. But like he, I think his both of his specials that I've seen were so fucking funny, and they make me laugh a lot. So I gotta go Shane. Glenny?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Shane. I think he's the funniest person in the world probably right now. He makes me laugh more than anybody. And I was just thinking this, and if, Shane, if you see this clip, I'm sorry for saying this, but like if he like died tomorrow, I feel like he'd be considered like Tupac or Jimi Hendrix. In the comedy world, he'd be like Tupac, like that level. I mean, he's the funniest person ever.
Stay safe.
Put that on a quote card. Yeah. Send that to Shane. If Shane Gillis died tomorrow, he'd be Tupac.
He'd be like
of the comedy world, he'd be Tupac.
I mean, he would definitely be like, yeah, revered, like Mitch Hedberg.
Everybody would be like, oh, he's the funniest guy ever.
Yeah.
500,000 people in the streets of Pittsburgh bringing down his coffin.
Yeah. Like, think of the way that Chris Farley's remembered. Yeah. It's kind of like this iconic John Belushi and, you know, like... Mm-hmm. I was a reach by Glenny.
People are going
to
just...
That was or wasn't?
It wasn't.
No.
And for the record, I don't want Shane to die.
No, it's just funny.
I think it needs to be said.
Yeah. I hope people just don't think like, oh, Robbie's just all of his picks are young people picks, but I'm also going Shane. Like, out of this list, Shane has definitely made me laugh more than the rest. I am a Dave Attell guy. I think Dave Attell is hysterical.
Yeah.
Never been a Jeselnik guy. Again, I don't really know much Bill Hicks stuff. Don't know much Bernie Mac stuff. So yeah, I'll go Shane.
Can I say one thing about Jeselnik? I feel like just every clip I see about him, he gives him a very condescending vibe.
Yeah.
That's his tone.
I just don't like it.
Yeah. Nate?
It's Shane. Everything Francis said, just he's already a legend. I've only laughed. I've seen basically every comedian that I want to see live. There's only one that made me laugh harder than Shane, and he's yet to be mentioned. But yeah, Shane.
I have a feeling he might be coming up soon. Don't say it. But
it's Shane.
Might be in the room.
And I really... Francis's act is so good, and he's hard on himself. Good.
Nate said that he thought I was a better comedian than Shane. I'd fucking quit Barstool tomorrow.
I think you potentially could be.
Yeah, your act, I remember this.
You have to die pretty soon.
if
Glenny's wish came
that
true,
man into Tupac. That's not my wish.
Glenny's over here.
Glenny is his biggie.
Yeah. Yeah. So, unfortunately, Shane now runs into a bit of a buzzsaw. That our number one seed is just, it's impossible. It was very difficult trying to pick out the one seed. It's Louis C.K. Mm. Louis C.K.'s stand-up, every stand-up special he's done has been so fucking funny. It's been, like, unbelievably good. Me and Robbie were just watching Louis the show earlier. Yeah. Just
it's a great show.
The clip at the button. It's every time I see that, I just fucking cry laughing. It's so good. So Louis C.K. versus Shane Gillis. This is actually, like, this could be, like, a finals matchup, honestly. Like,
yeah, this
like
is unfair.
The contemporary brain, but it's tough. Start with you, Nate.
It's Louis.
He's tough to beat, man.
It just is.
Like,
I don't want to elaborate. It's just Louis.
I'm trying to think of who, because obviously Louis sold out MSG pretty recently, but so did Shane. So like, I don't know.
Shane's getting fucked by the seed in here, but it's Louis.
Yeah, Louis.
I've unfortunately never been a Louis guy.
Oh my God.
I know. People have given me shit for this literally like my entire life, even before Louis got canceled. Obviously, much more before Louis got canceled, half canceled, whatever one you say about it. So yeah, I'm going to go Shane, but it's not even like I'm so much more passionate about Shane being a better comic. It's just Louis never resonated with me. I'm not sure if I've given so many of his specials a chance. Like, all of my friends love him and are, you know, quote his jokes and cry laughing. Just something never connected to me. Like, I think the clips from Louis, the show I've seen, are funnier than the Louis stand-up I've seen, even. Like, maybe it's just my sense of humor. I don't know what it is. I've never been a Louis guy.
Well, 1-1 right now, Glennie.
Shane.
Wow.
Shane, wow, no question.
I really don't know much Louis, and probably there's maybe two guys that I would pick ahead of Shane all time. So I'm going Shane.
Between these two, I kind of think Shane and Louis are kind of similar in certain ways. I think like Louis's way more depraved in his comedy than Shane is, but Louis had so much more success over so many more years, and his you go back and watch like even especially from while ago, like older ones, they're still really, really damn funny, and he has great delivery. And like nothing, you look at Louis C.K. and nothing about him should be charming.
No,
like, nothing about him should make you like laugh with him, and you do. So I'm gonna go with Louis. So 2-2 right now.
I'm going Louis. I think Shane would go Louis. I think that you know Shane said this great story. He might have even been on Kevin's pod about how when he was preparing for his SNL monologue. He was trying to figure out what to do, and he was talking to Louis about it, and he said, I might just kind of go do some newer material or something, or I don't know, write a new set for it. And Louis said, don't do that. And Louis said, don't do that. You need to do your best stuff right now. And Shane said, but when you go out there, don't you? And Louis said, Shane, I'm such a better comedian than you will ever be. and Shane agreed. He accepted that. So, I mean, I think body of work, Louis is the guy who puts out a special every year. He churns and burns, and there doesn't ever seem to be a major drop off from one to the next. And he's just been so consistent for such a long time. And yeah, it's Louis. Which isn't to say that, you know, Shane couldn't overtake him someday, but for right now, it's,
I was watching the Cinnabon bit from Louis the other day. It's so fucking good.
But he eats it when he lands at the airport.
Yeah, and he's like, every guy at the Cinnabon looks like me or fatter. Yeah. And we're all just like, oh, fuck. We have to eat a Cinnabon. Like, oh, he's so good. Clemmer?
Yeah, Louis C.K. has this great joke where he says his vacation is when he's going on vacation with his kids. He puts the kids in the car, and he walks from putting the kids in his car to the driver's side door. And that's his vacation at, like, 5 seconds. And, like, Shane just hasn't lived long enough to have life experiences like that. And I think it's, like, body of work and just life experiences. So I'm going to go with Louis just because he's been around longer and has more stuff to joke about. But maybe Shane does overtake him eventually. But Louis C.K. for right now, for sure.
I wonder what it would be like if Louis did more like, because obviously Shane does like pods and stuff like that. I wonder what it would be like if Louis did more of that stuff, because I feel like you rarely see him do a lot of like.
He doesn't overexpose himself.
A little bit.
Any choice of words.
Yeah. But yeah, I wonder what it would be like if he did more of those. But yeah, anyway, so Louis C.K. is going to move on. Before we get to the second half of the bracket, let's talk about Ibotta. Big holidays mean big family get-together, so gather your loved ones together and enjoy all the holiday traditions you cherish with the help of cashback from Ibotta. This month, Ibotta is giving new users 100% cashback on your Thanksgiving feast. Just add the offers in the app to redeem everything that you need to make your Thanksgiving feast complete. All you need to do is shop at your favorite retailers and upload your receipt. They give you cashback on hundreds of grocery items, from produce to personal care to pantry goods, so you can get everything you need for the holidays. You also earn cashback on hundreds of online brands from retailers when you start using Ibotta, including Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying the Ibotta app using code BRACKET when you register. So just go to the App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back using code BRACKET. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store using code BRACKET. All right, second half of the bracket, number 11 seed versus the 6 seed. 11 seed is Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy, just one of the all-timers. Raw, like all these different specials he had, especially towards like the late 80s. Just iconic.
Raw and Delirious.
Raw and Delirious, just two of the most like iconic specials you'll ever see. And that's going up against number 6. I feel like there's another guy Glennie will probably love, Don Rickles.
My favorite.
Don Rickles is so another guy, just effortlessly funny.
Only book I've read in the last like 10 years is Don Rickles' autobiography.
Really? How was that? Yeah.
Literally, you could read it in an hour. Right. I got it during COVID. It was like 80 pages, and it was in font that Don Rickles would need to read the book.
You spent 1 hour of reading in the last.
Yeah, I don't read much. I've read more like articles. The only book I've purchased was Don Rickles' autobiography.
I love it. If you're like, Glennie, do you read? He's like, yeah, the articles.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't read a book. The only book I've read is literally Don Rickles' autobiography. Yeah,
yeah. So Eddie Murphy versus Don Rickles, Clemmer.
So Eddie Murphy, maybe if he had never become an actor, maybe would have overtaken. But Eddie Murphy had other things going on. He even had a number one song at one point. But Don Rickles was a stand-up, and he was always a stand-up outside of it, Casino and a couple other things. But he was always – and he's always funny, whether he'd be on The Tonight Show when I was growing up with Johnny Carson or and it always ages well. Like,
yeah.
Calling someone a hockey puck is always funny. Like, he's just always funny. He's just, it always worked, and he always managed to do it with like a twinkle in his eye that it was never, he was like roasting you, but it was always done with a mischievous glance.
Never felt mean.
It never felt like, oh, yeah. And I don't know. Don Rickles was like such a brilliant guy and so good at what he did. I can't not pick him.
Yeah. So mentally quick. Francis?
I'm interested that you chose Eddie Murphy as the 11 seed and Don Rickles as the 6. I would have had them switched. I think to me, Eddie Murphy is, like that was the start of my dream of becoming a comedian. I used to listen to him on Napster.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember
file, yeah.
downloading Eddie Murphy on Napster and just memorizing the bits and then going into school and regurgitating them. And I think a lot of comedians would list him as being one of the people that influenced them. Don Rickles is the original roast comic. You know, he's kind of he's amazing. He's a specific niche. But when you talk about this list that we're building, which, we're defining people by specials and bodies of work, for me, it's definitely Eddie Murphy over Don Rickles.
So I would have immediately just picked Don Rickles because I'm in the same camp as you, Clemmer, where I'm like, if he didn't get into movies and music and the other parts of the entertainment world, like I think he would have been probably like the best stand-up comedian ever because that was so, just between those two specials alone was like top of the world. But in Rickles, every time, everything you see about him, whenever any special, it's a set, whatever, roast, he crushes it. And effortlessly, so funny, so quick-witted. But I think after hearing that explanation, I'm switched. I'm swapped over to Eddie because there really isn't like a special of Don Rickles. You know what I mean? Like, there's not like you go watch his like a full, hey, here's a 40-minute thing from Rickles. Like, there really isn't. It's more just like appearances in other types of media. So as far as stand up comic, I think I would agree. Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, Don Rickles is one of my favorites ever. I think like two people make me laugh more than Shane, maybe, and he's one of them. And I mean, I love Eddie. I forgot if it's in Delirious or Raw. There's a bit he has about like Italian seeing Rocky.
Yeah, and then they want to fight after.
Yeah.
Absurdly funny. But, I mean, Rickles, just every single appearance he's on, he may not win this, but if you're watching this, like, go watch Don Rickles on the Johnny Carson show with Frank Sinatra when he did, like, I think it was some honoring Reagan. He's just so quick-wittedly funny. Even he did a series right before he died called Dinner with Don, sponsored by AARP. He's, like, 90 years old, just sitting and having dinner with, like, Scorsese and Vince Vaughn and De Niro, and the way he would still speak when
Big
he
three.
Was 90 years... No, it's eight different episodes. When he was 90 years old, he was still...
That's like, awesome.
His wit was still
so
going.
Fast.
Even they did a Spike special, like, a special on him, like, 10 years ago, probably. He couldn't even stand up, and he just sat there and watched everybody, and then let him talk at the end, and the way he would speak is so funny. And like you just said, it's so... like, no one ever, like... I mean, he never made fun of me, but you could tell... As mean as the stuff was, it didn't matter. Like, everyone was just obviously laughing at him. He is unfathomably so funny. I'm obsessed with Don Rickles. So my pick is Don Rickles.
I forget which one it was. I think it might have been the roast of Clint Eastwood, but he's sitting there talking to Clint Eastwood, and he's like, Clint, we were in movies together. You're a lousy actor. It's like, I always hated
that,
you.
Yeah, that thing with Reagan. It's like, oh, De Niro's here, Bob's here. He's like, greatest living actor? Ask him. He'll tell you.
He'll make sure to tell you.
Like, yes. Just the way he was so like mean to people. Like, he was like, there's one thing I saw with Julia Roberts. And he's like, Julia, you have no lines.
Yeah. He's just so fucking funny.
I love him.
There's the great story with Sinatra, right? When he goes out to the restaurant. Yeah. Sinatra's there with a date, and he brings a date and goes over to Frank and says, Frank, I'd like to impress this lady. Do you think he could come over and say hi to us while we're eating the dinner? You know, act cool about it. So Frank says, of course, and he comes over and he's like, hey, I just wanted to say hi. You know, Frank comes over to impress this girl, and Don goes, Frank, we're trying to have dinner here.
Also, he was on Letterman with Denzel probably like 15 years ago, and he's an older guy, and he's still so goddamn funny. It's unbelievable.
So we're 2-2.
Personally, I'm going to go Eddie Murphy. I remember my dad, my mom, my brother, sister telling me about Delirious. And it was like, you know, before streaming, you couldn't like just go stream Delirious. So they were like, we're going to find the DVD and we're going to get it for you. It's the funniest stand-up special. He's wearing this red jumpsuit, like he's got the Carvel bit. And they brought it home. They went and got the DVD at like FYE, and we watched it as a family. And it was like one of the first comedy specials I ever saw in my life. And that was like, it was like a fundamental, like changed my life moment in a way. And I'm not even like an Eddie Murphy super fan, but it was just like, oh my God, I love this. Like, I love stand-up comedy. It sent me down the path of watching stand-up specials and stuff. So it's got to be Eddie Murphy. And then Raw right after it, I remember that they bought like the two-pack DVD, and just having those two back-to-back, it was like, holy shit.
So 3 for Eddie Murphy, 2 for Don Rickles.
It's Eddie Murphy. He is... people are going to be like, how is he not a one seed? Like,
I agree with Francis that the seeds definitely.
He's so dominant, and then he just got into movies, obviously, because he's that good and that much funnier. Like, he is that much funnier than everybody. He could go, you know, he's Donkey and Shrek. He could hop back on the stage right now and be funnier than everybody. Oh, yeah. He's just...
You can also make a case he's the best sketch comedian ever. He's
right, like, but SNL, like, on that SNL cast, he was still funnier than everybody. Which
by a mile, you'd say he's the best one ever.
Yeah, like, I think we are, as a panel, underrating what a juggernaut Eddie Murphy is.
We're talking just a stand-up, though. In my opinion, it was just too short.
He needed two specials to become the biggest actor comedian in the world. You know, like, he's just that good.
Yes. Long Island.
Is he from Long Island?
Really? Roosevelt, Long Island.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And Don's from Queens.
And then there's also, we add in Charlie Murphy to the equation, too. Also very funny.
We could, yeah.
He's got that gif.
What's that?
He's got that gif.
He's got, in just very funny stories.
Yeah.
So Eddie Murphy's going to move on. Now we have the 3 seed versus the 14 seed. 3 seed, another like Titan guy, which you had mentioned earlier, George Carlin. George Carlin is like another guy foundational in stand-up comedy. Like, you talk about anything with stand-up, he's just like one of those guys you have to mention. I don't know that his, and this is something I realized after I posted a call out like, hey, who's the favorite stand-up comedian? I used a gif of George Carlin, and I don't think maybe his stuff is registered as much for younger people. Because people are kind of like, I don't think he was very funny, blah, 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 blah. Like, I didn't like his delivery. I don't think he's a comic. He's more of a storyteller, blah, blah, blah. Like, I still think he's really fucking funny. It's just, it's a specific sort of style, maybe. And he's going up against number 14 seed, Bill Burr. Bill Burr, this was a late one to swap in for somebody else who ended up in a play-in game at Kevin's request. So, Bill Burr versus George Carlin. Nate. It's weird because Bill Burr would say, why would you not pick George Carlin? You know what I mean? This is where it gets...
So, who was... Bill Burr is that comedian to me that never resonated with me. I understand why he became so massive and everybody... It's not like I dislike him or anything, but I never was like, stop the presses. I need to watch everything. I've seen most everything he's done because I watch all comedy, but he just to me is... randomly that one comedian that I'm like, take it or leave it type of thing. That's why I'm not upset about his seating. And Carlin, as you said, like, he's like a Mount Rushmore guy. It's just still very funny to this day. Carlin is now being like hero worshipped in a weird way by the internet, where it's like he was so far before his time type of political stuff, which I don't really think he was. I think he was exactly at the right time. But Carlin, you know, he could make anything funny. He was a very deep thinker, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's Carlin.
I think they would call him like a philosopher first, like comedian second, or something like that. Yeah. Robbie?
And I like his style. Like, I like that style a lot.
This is tough for me. These would be two of my top three favorite comedians. I would go Burr over Carlin. Carlin has a lot of specials I love and a lot of specials I don't really love. After Carlin's wife died, his specials got a lot more like pessimistic and angry at the world.
True.
I don't really love those. I feel bad. I know. It's very sad.
Sorry, Bob.
It's sad. But Burr, I think maybe the last Burr special I didn't love as much. But
Red Rocks was not.
Yeah, for the most part, I think Bill Burr, when he is on his game, a Bill Burr bit will make me laugh as hard as any other bit in the entire world. The bit about jumping out of the helicopter and surviving and like not dying after you think you hit the water and you just scream, the bit about sinking the yacht. Like, there's so many good ones that Burr has. And I even think he's like one of those guys where I think he might be funnier on his podcast where he's just talking to himself for an hour than he even is on stage. Yeah. But yeah, I'll go Burr.
Also funny, like, you ever see the news appearance where, like, he was getting grilled by a newscaster for, like, making fun of the church?
Yeah.
Like, don't you think he went too far with the church? And he's like, don't you think the Catholic Church went a little too far?
Yeah. He's just so quick, and, yeah, Burr's hysterical.
So 1-1 right now, Glennie.
Yeah, I mean, I think this, for me, is the same plight that I'm going through with Richard Pryor. Like, obviously, you know George Carlin is George Carlin. You hear about George Carlin. I'm just someone, this is, kind of feels a bit critical after just talking about Don Rickles the way I did, but even not even comedy, just like with anything, for some reason in my brain, I'm immediately inclined to not watch older things. I don't love older things. I don't love seeing movies from the 70s, movies from the 80s.
You're an uncultured pig.
Yeah, I'm an uncultured pig. I like newer things. So obviously, I prefer Burr. Actually, Bill Burr, one of the few celebrities to respond to his Glennie Ball invite.
No way.
Wow.
He said, can't make it, but happy birthday, GB.
That's nice. Did you tell him Mo Vaughn was coming?
I should have said Mo Vaughn and David Wells will make an appearance. We're going Burr.
After Rough and Rowdy 3, I think it was, Bill Burr was on commentary. I did the interviews. Like, walked around the ring, shook my hand, was like, you are hysterical tonight. And then he talked about me on that episode of the podcast.
Oh.
It's my favorite compliment I've ever seen.
Sounds like an all-class guy.
Just like the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah.
Between these two, I think I'm kind of on Nate's side where, like, I don't think Bill Burr, his stand-up ever totally registered with me. Like, I thought he was really funny in, like, appearances, in acting roles and other stuff like that. I don't know that
love him in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, obviously in Breaking Bad, great, but not really like comedic stuff. But like I've liked him in all basically everything except his stand up, which has never really resonated in the same way that like George Carlin has in certain. And I would agree with you, pre wife dying specials. So I would go with George Carlin, and obviously George Carlin is just like a fucking titan of this industry.
It's Bill Burr for me. Wow. He is my number one favorite comedian ever.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I love Bill Burr. I worship Bill Burr. And George Carlin, as you said, is a philosopher. And I think that he explored different ways to think about religion and God and existentialism and all these things that, you know, that's not really what I watch comedy for.
More
not trying to, like, think about life and meditate. And I just want to laugh. I want to smoke some weed and laugh. So, Bill Burr for me.
Let me tell you, the few olds that listen to the bracket are going to get real angry when they see Pryor and Carlin on the first round exit.
The Pryor one's going to eviscerate.
Pryor one will set a bad precedent.
Yeah.
Clever.
Okay, so I understand George Carlin is is probably funnier than Bill Burr. I understand, you know, funny as far as like the textbook context of it. I understand all of it.
I would almost argue that. I think I would argue that.
All right, let me just get my point across. So I understand all of those things. But for me, Bill Burr is funnier personally than George Carlin. I think George Carlin's a much smarter person. I'm sure Bill Burr would say that too. And like you said, philosopher. Like his quotes, and I think you're wrong, Nate, as far as Carlin not being ahead of his time. I think he was. And Carlin is so intelligent. He was almost for all times because the stuff he's talking about is so deep and not topical. But Bill Burr makes me laugh more, and this is what we're doing here, I think, and I gotta go Bill Burr.
That's weird, because like, I think Bill Burr is funnier than George Carlin, but I like George Carlin's stand-up more than Bill Burr's.
It's a taste thing, too, and like, George Carlin's delivery, you guys talk about like a style, like, George Carlin's style doesn't work for me. I don't know why, and I've tried a million times, and I don't think he's bad.
Yeah.
It's just Bill Burr's style makes me laugh. And I'm sure it's like a dopey thing. I'm sure somebody a lot smarter than me right now is listening, you know, mad at their...
That's why, like, comedy's all subjective.
Yes. And I know this is a totally subjective pick, but for me, Bill Burr is just funnier than George Carlin. I know that's probably not true.
I think
it is to me.
Burr's probably my one as well. I have, like, three. Like, Carlin's in there as well, for sure. My third, I don't think, would be on the bracket. Birbiglia.
Oh. We might talk about
Burr. All right. I might have thrown him in.
But either way, Bill Burr is going to move on. Now we have the 10 versus the 7. The 10 seed is Steve Martin, one of the all-time best-selling great entertainers in the comedy world. He like set like every record for comedy.
He was the first comedian to sell out stadiums.
Yeah, he would sell it for the first one to sell out stadiums. He was on like all the nightly shows all the time. He's like, I think he was what is the record? He set like the record for record sales for like a comedic special and all that stuff. Super funny, wildly talented. Like he could play like what like 15 instruments or something.
Very good.
He's
on
one of
the
best banjo players.
Very good,
and still is one of the best banjo players. Yeah, ever. Yeah. And he's going up as number 7 seed. A more traditional guy that we will definitely know more of, Chris Rock. Chris Rock was, his stand-up was unbelievably, was, I will say here, because I think his new stuff is not very good, but his old specials, in like the early 2000s, so goddamn funny. So Steve Martin versus Chris Rock, Clemmer.
This is very close for me.
You're a huge Steve Martin guy.
Steve Martin wrote the best, maybe the best celebrity biography, autobiography ever read. It's called Born Standing Up, and it's just about his life in stand-up comedy and how he kind of got into it and why he eventually got out of it. It's fantastic. It's really, really worth the read. It's really entertaining. Please, if you like reading, Born Standing Up is great. I'm going to go with Steve Martin here. It's very close. Chris Rock is brilliant. I love Chris Rock. You're right. He's lost his fastball a little bit, but he looks young. He's older than he looks.
Yeah.
Steve Martin, to me, though, it was, especially growing up as a kid in the 80s, like Born 79, but a kid in the 80s, like watching stuff from the 70s a lot. Like, I think Steve Martin, and his stuff ages so well, because he always made fun of himself.
Yeah.
And he was like making fun of the act of celebrity, what it means to be a celebrity, and what the ego you get when you become a celebrity. He's very self-deprecating that way. I go Steve Martin here, but there's no wrong answer.
And not that it counts here, but like The Jerk.
So funny. So many of his movies. He's also a very good actor.
Lane Strains. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Steve Martin's so funny.
I just watched that for the first time.
That's right.
Really? Is it great?
I watched it the day after Thanksgiving. It was, you know, I was in the mood.
Perfect time.
Yeah. Really good. Really funny.
Curses out the.
John Candy's so good, too.
Oh my gosh. He makes me cry. I cry at the end of that movie every time.
Yeah.
So one for Steve Martin.
I mean, Clemmer makes great points. I the book Born Standing Up was the moment that I went from being a fan of stand-up comedy to thinking I want to be a stand-up comic. It was reading that book.
What in the book made you?
Just sort of like, I don't know. I'd never really read about how jokes are written and come to be in the process of, starting in open mics and all this stuff. I'd never read anything about that. And it kind of connected. It showed the doorway in. Which I'd never heard before. I had only just ever seen people who had already made it. And I thought, that doesn't sound as hard to get into, to start.
Sorry to get off track. Were there any comedians that you were doing open mics with that also went on to prosper as you did?
That's a great question.
You were doing what, like five a night or whatever for 2 years, three, whatever it was. Was there someone else grinding that with you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my class of comedians, I gotta have to think about that. I'll think about that a little bit.
I was just curious.
No, it's
like,
a good question.
Whoa, I used to see you in front of seven people also.
Yeah, right.
Like a Mark Norman type, something like that.
No, yeah, he was before my class.
Okay.
But Steve Martin, I love and I thought he also was the person who made me think I could play music in stand-up. So
that's interesting, the origin of that.
Yeah, Steve Martin for me.
Steve Martin.
Hey, you talk about people who Francis saw. I mean, I don't want to brag, but Francis and I were in UCB together at the same time.
It's true.
Really?
Yes.
Really? So he could have just said Chris Clemmer.
Chris Clemmer was one of my contemporaries who I watched. Oh, man, that guy's got it.
Wow, yeah. One day I can aspire to be that.
And then when they were...
when they got the Barstool, yeah. Seller. Yeah, this guy is playing the comedy seller.
They got the Barstool, they were at urinals next to each other. You said, who knew?
Who knew? I knew we'd make it this far.
Guess I was wrong.
Two for Steve Martin. I would also... he's another guy where I think Chris Rock is an incredibly good stand-up, and I think he resonated more
with me. This is blowing my mind.
He's resonated more with me as a kid, but then when I got older and I discovered Steve Martin stand-up and I went and like rewatched all of his sets, all of his everything, all of his appearances, I was like, holy shit, he's more, because in my brain as a kid, because I didn't watch like Planes, Trains, like he was the guy from Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's the dad from Cheaper by the Dozen, like, and the
Pink Panther. yeah
he's like that's the guy who I thought him as. And then like as I got older and like started like watching movies like Planes, Trains, like The Jerk, I'm like, this guy's really funny. And then I remember I think my mom and dad being like, oh yeah, he was one of the great stand-ups when we were growing up. And I'm like, okay, I gotta go watch that. And his stand-up is so funny and he is so talented. It's fucking crazy. Great Twitter follow too, by the way.
He's funny on social media.
Rips off banjo solos like that are the coolest things you've ever heard in your life. Not that counts as a stand-up thing, but his stand-up is very, very, very funny. So I would go with Steve Martin. Three for Steve Martin.
Not even a debate for me, Chris Rock. Before I said, I think two people make me laugh more than Shane, and it was Don Rickles and Chris Rock. Bring the Pain is probably my favorite special of all time. Chris Rock, his delivery, he's unbelievable. And I grew up loving Chris Rock. I grew up So, like, I always say, fall asleep to shows. I grew up for a steady, like, 2 or 3 years in my life falling asleep to Everybody Hates Chris.
Everybody Hates Chris, great show.
I had the DVDs, and then his DVDs would play the theme song throughout the night. So
oh, shit.
Yeah, for the episode, it's just the theme song all night.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 and that's it, the whole night. But Chris Rock is, I love Chris Rock. He's one of my favorites.
One for Chris Rock.
Yeah, I love Steve Martin, but I say that in terms of his acting, really. I'm very unfamiliar with his stand-up.
Let's Get Small was the album.
That was the big one.
That was so good.
I watched his documentary. I thought that was very good. But I'm going to have to go Chris Rock. As far as material that I know, I think Chris Rock is hysterical, and I'm actually way more familiar with him as a stand-up. But I will use this and dig into some Steve Martin stuff afterwards.
Very funny. Oh, yeah. Definitely. It's all on YouTube.
Yeah. And I just love him from, like, acting. I think Only Murders is a great show on right now, and he's great in that. Him and Martin Short are great together. I want to see that. They're doing a show together right now, a live show together. Like Steve Martin and Martin Short live. And I would see that for sure.
Who's the fucking Martin Short? Honestly, could have even, and not that he's like some prolific stand-up, but him as who's the big guy he plays?
Glick.
Jiminy Glick. Holy shit, dude!
So funny.
Almost nothing makes me laugh as consistently.
So
as
funny.
Glick.
It's not a perfect movie, Robbie, but check out Three Amigos. It's Martin Short, Steve Martin.
Oh yeah, I've never
Chevy
seen
Chase.
It. Yeah, never seen it.
Lorne Michaels wrote it. I don't think he directed it. I think he wrote it. For a while, Lorne Michaels wasn't working SNL, and this is what he did in that time frame.
So three for Steve Martin, two for Chris Rock.
I wish this could be the tiebreaker. I'm baffled that you guys picked Steve Martin. Like, Bring the Pain, Bigger and Blacker, Never Scared is the greatest 1-2-3 in a row a comedian has ever and will ever do. I cannot believe it wasn't 6-0 Chris Rock. It's Chris Rock. Like, come on.
You not like Steve Martin's stand-up?
Like, it's fine. It's funny. He's one of the most talented people alive. He's not Chris Rock when it comes to stand-up. Chris Rock is stand-up comedy. Like, he is what stand-up comedy is to me. I remember being in high school when they were filming Never Scared in D.C., and I really, really, really wanted to go. I was probably, like, 15 or something. I think Chris Rock is the maybe the greatest stand-up comedian of all time. I don't even hit everything about how he tells jokes, stage presence. Every single thing about his stand-up comedy is perfect to me.
Yeah, I mean, I boarded a flight, like, extremely hungover Monday night. And I was going through Twitter, I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot Chris Rock hosted SNL this weekend. Immediately pulled up the monologue. It's just, everything he does for me is a must-watch.
Even his most recent on Netflix, it's Selective Outrage. The first half is your classic old man yelling at the clouds. We can't say anything these days. The second half is classic Chris Rock, just perfect stand-up to me.
So that means we're tied up 3-3 right now. Jason, you're going to have to break the tie.
You're lucky because I'm not the biggest like stand-up guy, but I know both of these guys, and sorry, Nate. It's not a question. It is Steve Martin.
Ooh.
Right.
Go, Jason.
Call him Will Smith.
Fuck
am
those
I right?
dragons.
Because he just smacked Chris Rock out of the
right
picture.
Out of
hey. Topical.
So Steve Martin's going to move.
Fuck you, Robbie.
Steve Martin's going to move on. Now we can do our second play-in game, starting with Patrice O'Neill. Another one.
Ooh.
Oh,
Patrice, so damn funny.
So great.
One of the ones I was just going back through, like watching some of this, because every time I like put a new comedian in here, I'd want to like watch their special. The part where he's like talking to the white lady, like, you want to know how beautiful a white lady is? Like, how long would it take for them to end up on like a milk carton or something?
Yep.
Like, he was so goddamn funny. Sam Kinison, another guy where that might be more like an eclectic taste, but so funny.
The Rogan guy. Rogan's obsessed with Kinison.
Kinison was a legend.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, go where the food is. They're starving here. With
I think Rogan's bit is based on Sam Kinison, just the screaming and stuff.
Yeah.
Bargatze, we talked about at length. He's becoming like the new guy. Something he made like $80 million last year or something like that. Like, he's becoming that guy. And maybe partially because he's pretty G-rated for the most part.
He's pretty clean.
A pretty clean guy. Dane Cook had needed to be mentioned at least.
Oh, boy.
Because Dane Cook, you want to talk about a guy that had a fucking stranglehold on the entire...
The super middle finger. Remember that?
Yeah. We were talking about it before. The only thing quoted more than Borat, or at the same level as Borat, was Dane Cook specials growing up.
Yep.
Everybody talked about Dane Cook all the time. And obviously, he hasn't really kept up. He's had all the whatever issues and all that shit. But man, during that one era... Unbelievable. Mike Birbiglia, who we
mentioned
earlier, made it on here too. And lastly, Sebastian Maniscalco,
I would put Tom Segura in this group too.
You could throw him in here.
He wasn't included in the first place.
He wasn't in the main one because
he would be in there, yeah.
Yeah. So, I almost forgot to
I think there's one comedian in that
that stands out above all others?
Well, you could vote first.
It's Bargatze. I said there's only one comedian I've seen that makes me laugh harder than Shane. It's Nate Bargatze. There's a reason he is becoming a household name little by... I mean, he just did, like, the golf thing with, like, Barkley and all of them. He has a CBS Christmas special this week. He is a clean comic, which should... he does it perfectly. It feels like they sat down in a boardroom and they had to come up, like, with an algorithm to build, like, the perfect next thing in comedy. And Nate Bargatze popped out. He's
clean wife guy.
He's A plus. I think he's in that list you gave. He's in a tier of his own, in my opinion.
Robbie.
I would go Birbiglia. As I mentioned before, he would round out my like trilogy of favorite comedians. Discovered him when he did Sleepwalk With Me, I think the movie, and then went back and watched, you know, this Sleepwalk With Me, the special. My Girlfriend's Boyfriend is such a funny special. I think The Old Man in the Pool was great.
Love that.
He had so many good ones. Me and Trent saw one of them on Broadway. I just love his style. It's so different than any other comedian. The really long, drawn-out stories that sometimes won't even be that funny until the punchline, but when that punchline hits, it feels so much harder. His bit about cursing on The Muppet Show is so fucking funny. Yeah, he's definitely my pick and like one of my favorite comedians in the world.
Can I ask, was Simple Trent a big Jeff Dunham guy?
Definitely.
100%. No, I don't think he was, but... I'll admit I've seen Jeff Dunham live.
Yeah, that's right. But you told me it was
a gift. Yeah, it was gifted tickets. But yeah, I'm not going to hate on Jeff Dunham. I'm going to straight up say it. I thought Jeff Dunham was funny for a long time. Walter
the
Puppet.
Ahmed the Dead Terrorist.
Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. Peanut. Bubba. He had some good characters.
Yeah, him and Terry Fader make more money than like everyone on this list combined.
Yeah, he sells out arenas.
Dude, they have like residencies in
Vegas.
To
this day, yeah.
Like, it's crazy how well they do. So you're going to go with Birbiglia?
Birbiglia, yeah.
I enjoy Bargatze's stuff. I think like 2 years ago, he followed me on Instagram randomly and then unfollowed me.
Oh, name drop. Nice.
No, I think he unfollowed me, I think, because I post too many horny things. And
he's more
comic.
Of a family guy, yeah.
So I'm not going to go with that. Dane Cook, I don't never really watch his stand-up. He does low-key have, I think, maybe what I would consider the greatest boob movie of all time in Good Luck Chuck.
Greatest boob movie of all time?
There's a three-boobed woman in it. At one point, they pan to like... 20 boobs at once. Good Luck Chuck may be the greatest boob movie ever.
Wow.
But out of respect to the Paisans, I gotta go Sebastian.
After all
aren't
that.
You embarrassed?
Chipotle.
I like Sebastian. I got a super Italian mom. She loves Sebastian. Italian moms love Sebastian.
Last time my buddy was buying tickets for, I doubt they'll see this, but he was buying tickets for Christmas for his like sister and her and his brother-in-law to go to Sebastian at Barclays Center or UBS on Long Island. I was saying to myself, that must be our greatest congregation.
Yeah.
I don't know if there could be a more great congregation.
Of Italians.
There could be a more congregation than that.
Yeah.
Even like Billy Joel, there's other people there. It's just, Sebastian, I think, is just us.
Just the Paisans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty solid actor, too, I got to say.
I like Sebastian. I feel like he gets shit on now for being too like mainstream. I think he's genuinely very funny.
And I actually like that show, Bookie. It's a good show.
I was about to say, it started Bookie.
Oh, it just came out for the second season. It started last week.
Out of this grouping, like, I think a lot of these guys are funnier and they have obviously more sustained success than some of the other people on here. I would go Patrice. I think Patrice has made me laugh more than
Patrice. Yeah,
Patrice especially.
It's hard to go anyone over Patrice, to be honest, on that list. But
funny, and it's only like I think like two or three specials maybe that I've seen. But man,
Elephant in the Room.
Yeah, Elephant in the Room specifically being like the one. He was so damn funny. So I think I would go with Patrice.
Yeah. The joke from Elephant in the Room when they're like, women, a condom is a woman's responsibility. And it's because women are horny or men are hornier. And like, he says, like, you see that girl out there covered in trash by the dumpster? And he's like, she's just so cute with the trash on her. Oh, it's so good. Who can you give me the first part of the list again?
Patrice, Sam Kinison, Nate Bargatze, Dane Cook, Mike Birbiglia, Sebastian Maniscalco, Tom Segura.
Yeah, I'm going to go Nate on this. I think what Nate's doing is going to endure. You know, he just is ready for his success. He's ready to churn over a new hour every year, and it's going to just keep getting better and better and keep being universal. And the only threat to his enduring legacy, I guess, would be becoming overexposed and becoming a game show host in the process and stuff like that. But for now, you know,
keep him off foreplay. Am I right?
Yeah.
Those guys will kill any career.
Damn straight.
Jesus.
Any career.
He's amazing. Yeah, Nate, for sure.
Nate?
Yeah, after college, like the year after college, there's a show on Comedy Central called Tough Crowd, Colin Quinn.
Yep.
And it was basically like The View, but awesome. It was like all these, they would just, you have the like the funniest stand-up comics in the world talk about like current events, and it was just the best. And they would all rip on each other. Greg Giraldo was on a ton.
Yeah.
And Patrice O'Neill was on a ton. I had never heard of Patrice O'Neill until that show. And then I started like looking at his stand-ups, and I remember just laughing so hard. Patrice O'Neill is like one of the, I don't know if younger people, I'm sure you guys do, but maybe like younger people might not know who he is, but check out his, if you don't know who he is, check out his YouTube. He's really funny.
I think he's funnier when he would just do O&A and like off the cuff on radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I know him. I mean, I've seen his stand-up, but I think he was much funnier on O&A, just being just diabolically funny. And then he had a little part on The Office before he died as well.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so he was crossing
over. He was great off the cuff on Tough Crowd, too. Like, yeah. But he also had the ability to also, I think still do be really funny.
What year was Tough Crowd? I remember watching it, but I was too young to understand it.
'03, '04. Like, yeah. I just got out of college.
I was saying,
2003, 04, I think.
I think younger people do sort of know Patrice. I feel comedians have done a very good job of keeping him alive. Yeah.
And Greg Giraldo, too, is another guy who's like really funny.
He's one I really wanted to include here. It's just that the left.
Almost like a more modern Carlin.
I would put Gary Goldman on this list, too.
Oh, I love Gary Goldman. Wasn't Gary Goldman one of the like first comedians you met? Am I right about that?
Yeah, he did
Barstool Breakfast.
Yeah. The second stand-up show I ever did in Boston.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you telling him that on Barstool.
I still
Breakfast.
Remember a joke he told, which was that he said it was in February, and he goes, I was down at the Dunkin' Donuts down there, and they had a sign out that said February is Chocolate Lovers Month. I'm pretty sure they prefer Black History Month.
I love his Karate Kid bit.
Yeah.
If do right, no can defend. And he's like, you telegraph it. If do right, can defend. Yeah.
He does The Cellar a lot, and it's kind of a nice thing. He does it so much where, like, him and Jim Norton, I feel like I've seen, like, I don't know, 20 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always make me laugh. Those guys always.
Great Depression, great special.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So you're going with Patrice?
Yeah.
So that means that we are tied between Patrice and Nate Bargatze. So, Jason, are you familiar enough with these two? If not, we could probably get Security Dan. I feel like he's on top of this stuff.
I mean, I recognize one name. So, I mean, you can play the card that one guy is just that much bigger that I recognize the name Patrice O'Neill.
Wow.
Wow.
You recognize Patrice over Nate Bargatze?
Nate Bargatze has a billboard at MSG right now.
Patrice has been around for a long time. I mean,
fair enough.
Been gone
for
a long time, but he's
had a benefit for legacy. As long as he's been gone. They do a show for him every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are we going with Patrice there?
I feel like we should get someone that knows both. Does that make sense?
We asked the two people that didn't have their vote counted because it was a tie.
Yeah. We could split the vote.
Sorry,
Patrice and Bargatze.
I would go Patrice.
I would also go Patrice.
Wow.
Like, I remember Patrice and like Giraldo from early like Comedy Central roast, and I was like, I really liked them.
So good.
So Patrice O'Neill is going up against our number two seed, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
I
love you guys. I got to jump. Yep. So good luck the rest of the way. Thank you for having me.
Would you take between these two?
Between Patrice and Chappelle? Chappelle.
Yeah.
I think Chappelle's the greatest of all time.
Of all time?
Yeah. He's not my favorite of all time, but I think he's the best ever.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Francis, it was an honor having a one of the actual 250 on the Comedian podcast.
Yeah.
Shout out Francis, and if it were up to me, he would win the bracket today.
Wow, what a guy. Robbie Fox,
you had a
we're making Tupac's today.
Francis had a Harvey Weinstein joke in one of his specials that made me die laughing.
Oh, amazing. It was a great song. Yeah.
Song?
Now that he's out of the room, we could glaze him a little bit. Genuinely awesome comedian. If you could see Francis live.
Yeah, I agree.
His stand-up, his entire bit, his act, whatever you want to call it, is so good. We saw him before WrestleMania in Philly. You weren't there actually yet.
I was not.
But oh my God, killer. Absolute murderer.
Saw him in Chicago, and the guy who opened, or I forget who was open for him. It was pretty cold room.
Connor Mook.
It was not Conor. It was a while ago.
It was years ago. I was with you.
Yeah, exactly. It was for Star Wars Celebration. Yep. The guy opened it for him. It was kind of cold room, and then like he came in and just crushed it.
Yeah, Francis is awesome.
You know how hard it is to get on the comedy, like to be in,
I know,
on that roster?
Yeah.
Seller, and like,
he was also, he was being humble. I think he's been on fucking Comedy Seller shows with Seinfeld.
Yeah.
We were talking about that before, and he was just being nice and humble about it. You know?
He's like,
he's been on shows where they're like, hey, Seinfeld's going to drop in right before you. And
yeah.
He's got to be like, all right, cool, I'll follow that.
Yeah. Yes. Francis is like a very
he's
legit.
He's
stand-up.
A legit
yeah,
comedian.
So Dave Chappelle versus Patrice O'Neill Clemmer.
Yeah, I love Patrice, but Dave Chappelle, I definitely echo a lot of things Francis said where he might be the greatest ever to do it. And think about how long he's been doing it for, too.
Long time.
And I think he's still really funny. I know some people don't like him and or they feel he lost fastball a little bit, but I think he's lost his fastball a lot less than Chris Rock has. So I'm going to go with Dave Chappelle here. I think Dave Chappelle is about as good as it gets.
I'll go with Chappelle as well. I think that he had a special like right after, because every comedian, I feel like, had their, oh, cancel culture like special that came out, like it was required of them to make one. He had that one, which I didn't like, and then the one after that I thought was way better. There, when everyone was bitching about the trans stuff, thought that one was very good, and then the one after that also thought was very good. So I would go with Dave Chappelle, and obviously all the stuff pre that. Skinny Chappelle was so funny.
Easy Chappelle, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to beat.
Love Patrice. The body of work, it's got to be Chappelle.
Yeah, Nate.
It's Chappelle by a lot.
Yeah,
it's Chappelle. I mean, I'm. This is almost like the Chris Rock one to me. That I was so stunned that people. I think Chappelle and Chris Rock, like, they're almost too good for this brand.
Chappelle's like, they should do like a Elton John, Billy Joel tour.
The two of them.
Should, yes.
That'd be good.
Wait, what was the Chris Rock documentary? Who was he with for that?
Oh yeah, I forgot about
he
that.
He did do a little documentary. I think it was
them. Was it them? I think it was them. It was Chappelle and Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they did do that. Yeah.
I remember I watched like a year ago. It came out probably.
Remember watching something like
that. So you suggested they should do something they've already done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you loved it so much.
I'm saying they should do a fucking tour.
All right.
Yeah. I was watching something. Apparently Chris Rock, like his brother Tony Rock is also like an aspiring comedian.
Yeah, he has a big part of the documentary.
Chris Rock refuses to put him on.
That was a major storyline of the documentary.
Chris Rock refuses to help his brother in any way
in
the comedic world at all. Like,
I thought the documentary was about hair.
There is a documentary about, it's almost like a Road to WrestleMania type thing where it follows Chris Rock as he's
for special
for his stand-up gig at Barclays.
You could think of a different documentary.
There is didn't he make a documentary about hair?
He did make a documentary.
An Oscar-nominated, like,
There's one about, I think it's on Netflix. It's just about Chris Rock leading up, and it, like, follows him for, like, a week leading up to his show.
I think the one you're talking about, I think, was, like,
Spoiler. Tony Rock is involved with that storyline of he
Tony
wants...
Tony Rock sounds like a fake guy.
It does sound like a fake guy.
Hey, Tony Rock.
Nephew Jordan Rock that does comedy as well.
Does he?
It might be Tony's son. I think he had a small part in Love on Netflix or something.
All right.
And I remember watching, like, I think it was Tony Rock on like a podcast or something, and he was like,
I think I watched that show.
Yeah, like, my brother refuses to put me in any movies. He wouldn't put me in anything. Like, I was like, come on, I'm trying to eat here. Like, can you help me?
Tom Hanks is the opposite, puts his brother on, and that Tom Hanks' brother is the exact same voice as him.
His voice replica.
So he does the voice work for Woody and all the toys and video games and stuff.
I remember correctly, in T2, this also happened with Linda...
Hamilton?
Linda Hamilton?
Hamilton has a twin.
She has a twin. Yes, she does.
In this, you know the scene where they, Arnold is like getting work done in the mirror?
Yep.
So that's just like two separate things, and it's Linda's twin on one side and her on the other.
Ah.
Rotate around. It looks like you're going into the mirror, but it's not because it's just her twin.
Pretty interesting.
And also, I think
Ron Howard puts his brother in.
Yeah. He's also, I think, actually very good.
He's also a good actor. Yeah.
Richie Cunningham.
Yeah.
You're just talking about the Wonder Years, and I keep calling it Wonder Years. Happy Days.
Happy Days.
Yeah. I think what's his name? Also, who's the guy?
Henry Winkler.
Vin Diesel has a twin brother with hair.
Oh.
I always forget about that one. Twin brother with a full head of hair.
Mark Sinclair.
Which, by the way, is such a fucking good actor name.
It's my cousin's
name. Vin Diesel's real name is Mark Sinclair.
It's Vin Diesel's real name.
Yeah, but Vin Diesel, that's cool.
Vin Diesel's
Mark Sinclair
way
is like
better.
The most classic actor
name.
Vin Diesel? Dude,
that's awesome.
It's like a wrestler name.
That's a great name.
It's an awesome name, dude.
I'm not saying it's not an awesome name, but as far as like he wanted to be like, hey, he was in drama school, like, oh shit, he wanted to be a classic. You want to be
Mark Sinclair is a CPA. Vin Diesel.
No. Like John Smith is a CPA.
No, that's an average name.
That's what I'm saying. Mark Sinclair is an above average name.
No, CPA is above average.
Balls raised his hand.
He raised his hand. I just got to clarify, the fucking documentary was Kevin Hart and Chris Rock. And not
Kevin Hart and Chris Rock, not Chappelle.
So, fuck you.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I thought it was Kevin Hart. I was too afraid to say. I think it's Kevin Hart.
I wasn't adamantly. So they should go on a tour together, which they haven't done.
It would be a good tour.
Okay.
Tell him, Glennie.
Okay.
It's not like they moved on 5 minutes
ago. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify.
I don't even think anyone was calling
us back to the convo.
Nobody was calling anybody an idiot or anything.
I'm team balls this one. Good for you, Glennie.
Okay, good documentary, nevertheless.
All right. And Chris Rock and Chappelle should do a tour together.
Yes. Yeah.
Unless they have already. In that case, don't correct us. Before we get to the playoffs, let's talk about Factor. Notice how the days are shorter, but your to-do lists aren't. Power through the busy days with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. From breakfast to dinner to anything in between, Factor's easy, nutritious options to keep you fueled and feeling your best. Whether you like your routine or mixing things up, they have you covered with 35 different delicious meals every week, or 35 different delicious, I guess, options. And over 60 additional convenience options that can help you, like keto cookies, pressed juices, and smoothies. I mentioned every time we do a Factor ad, I don't know how the smoothies work, because they are... Smoothies in my brain are a thing that should be like expire within the hour. Like that should not be good anymore after that. You get them out of the container. It tastes like someone just blended it right in front of your face. Same thing with the meals. 2 minutes 30 in the microwave. It tastes like someone just cooked it right in front of you. Factor lets you do you. Choose 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well balanced. Head to factormeals.com/LCB50 and use code 50LCB. Factormeals.com/50LCB and use code 50LCB to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code 50LCB at factormeals.com/50LCB to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping when you get your subscription is still active. They swapped the code on me. It used to be LCB50, and they switched it to 50.
I like to change it up sometimes. Yeah. Make sure you're still reading.
Yeah, make sure I'm still checking it out. Shout out to Factor. Love those guys. All right, so now we have our playoffs. First matchup, John Mulaney versus Rodney Dangerfield. Whew. Nate, you're up first. Mulaney versus Dangerfield. You're going to do the same thing. People are going to get pissed. They're going to be pissed regardless. You got to just accept it.
It's John Mulaney. Clemmer was on, like, said, if I had to pick a stand up for a desert island, and that's the way I'm looking at this, like, I don't care about cultural impact at the moment. John Mulaney has made me laugh maybe more than, you know, 99% of humans alive, and especially more than Dangerfield. Not saying that he's not funny, just different eras, different times. It's Mulaney.
Mulaney?
Like I said last round about Dangerfield, I kind of missed out on him, especially as a stand-up. Like, my exposure to him is more as an actor, so I'd go Mulaney for sure.
Mulaney?
Yeah, I've just watched more Mulaney in my life. And once again, Ray Dangerfield seems like he'd be probably the better guy to hang out, have dinner with, but I'm going to go Mulaney just because he's made me laugh more, yeah.
I would go, I'll dissent for, Mulaney already went, I would go Dangerfield just because Dangerfield makes me laugh every time. Every new special, I feel like I find a new set of him on a show from like fucking 70s, 80s, whatever, and I'm just, it makes me die laughing. I guess mostly 80s, but Dangerfield.
It would take a really great modern comedian to not take Rodney Dangerfield, but John Mulaney is that comedian. John Mulaney is that funny. Like, I got to go. John Mulaney is my favorite of the modern era.
Mulaney's going to move on. On the top part, we have Louis C.K. versus Norm Macdonald. Oh. Brutal.
This is tough. I say modern era, but like I don't know if I count Louis as modern era, but like Louis and John Mulaney would be, that's hopefully, I don't know. I'm going Norm. Norm Macdonald is my 1-1. There's no greater comic. No comic has made me laugh more in person than Norm, and I just love Norm. The only thing I don't love that Norm did, I didn't love the autobiography that much. It was kind of fake, whatever you want to call that.
Experimental.
Yeah, it wasn't. But other than that, Norm Macdonald is everything to me. Comedy.
I think. Between these two, I associate Louis more with stand-up. And every stand-up special I've seen of his has been extremely funny. Like, I haven't watched one where I'm like, oh, he lost his fastball, he doesn't get it. Like, it's just, it's new and it's good every time I watch it. And it's, I have to go with Louis. And gotta say, very funny in person. And I worked on Louis as a grip for a while. Very fun guy. Glennie.
This is weird for me because, I feel weird saying it because I'm on a stand-up comedy bracket, but I haven't really watched enough Louis C.K. to really comment on this and pick him over Norm.
I would say that's crazy.
I haven't. Sorry.
It's your Christmas homework.
Yeah, you know, it is so funny.
I think that's fair. Hey. On culture pick, I'm going to go with Norm.
You're going to go with Norm.
I'm also going to go with Norm.
Y'all are crazy.
That means Norm's going to win, but
y'all are crazy. Louis C.K. is maybe the best comic of our generation.
I think Norm McDonald's the best comic
was
ever.
The best comic of all time.
Yeah, like I like Norm. In Clips and in Dirty Work, phenomenal film. Weekend Update, But Louis C.K. stand up is one of a kind.
Kind of where I landed.
Yeah, it's he's just different.
Like body of work. If you're like, hey, I'm erasing this person's existence from human history,
I would erase Louis C.K.
I would erase Louis C.K. and keep Norm. But if we're saying just stand up,
it was still like you know Louis season three. You know how he has like the interstitials where he does the stand up. So I was at the Comedy Cellar for those. He does all of them at once. So I got to sit through all of them, which is great. And he's amazing. And I've seen him at Cellar a bunch of times. I saw him at Caroline's. Very funny. Norm is still to me funnier.
You think next level for...
Okay. I just never laughed harder. And this is saying like A plus versus A. Like Louis C.K. is amazing. Like
splitting hairs, yeah.
Like there's no wrong answer here. But for me, like I disagree. Like Nate thinks we're crazy. I don't think you're crazy either way. I think either way is right. But for me, it's Norm.
And also, like Francis said earlier, I bet almost more comics would say their favorite comic is Norm over.
I think you're right.
That's the thing. So. He's like the comics comic. And it's so hard to do this. Oh, you don't think Norm's... No, I think he's one of the funniest humans of all time, obviously.
Yeah.
Relative.
But both are, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why this is impossibly
hard. You said it was crazy. That's why I'm...
I think there's like three or four comics I put above everybody else. It's Chappelle, Rock, Louis. Like, that's like three of the four. That's just.
I think he's saying in the context of stand-up.
Just very stand-up. Subjective, though.
I know that. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I'm saying stand-up specifically. Norm is that funny?
Yeah. So Norm versus John Mulaney.
Mulaney
over Norm. Wow.
Yeah. I feel like now it's gonna be a clean sweep of Norm.
I love Norm, but I would also go Mulaney.
This is crazy.
Yeah, here I would go Mulaney right. for sure.
I echo right. Bob. I'm going Mulaney.
All right. Mulaney, just an instant win.
It's the beauty of a bracket.
Yeah. I would have picked, I think, Norm, because it's just a full body of work thing, you know what I mean? And, like, I feel like Mulaney's had two specials that I really liked, like, really, really liked, and then the rest I've been like, okay, yeah, it's good. And
you heard some good stuff on SNL.
I don't think I've ever had a Norm stand-up bit, whether it's, like, a set on a late night or whatever. There's none that I've watched and I haven't laughed. And there's been plenty of John Mulaney jokes within his stand-up that I haven't totally gelled with. Clever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm upset because Norm's like my favorite of all time, but I mean, Mulaney's is certainly a perfect worthy adversary to lose to. So once again, there's no real wrong answer. It's Norm for me, but Mulaney's a fine choice.
Mulaney moves on. Now we have Bill Burr versus Eddie Murphy.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, this is Eddie Murphy. Like now we talked about like how used to the CDs. So when I was in grammar school is when these Raw and Delirious came out, and we would pass around the cassette tapes, the plastic.
Oh yeah,
and we passed because it was kind of off. You know, it was like, oh, this is kind of
R-rated. Yeah,
yeah, like this. Definitely. You know, and
contraband.
Some people, like my parents, didn't care, but other parents did. So like we would like swap out the cassettes, and every week someone else had the cassette.
Yeah,
and it was that great. Yeah, Eddie Murphy. This is Bill Burr is a very good comic. Eddie Murphy is like an all time great to me.
Yeah, we talked a lot about how the Eddie Murphy, like his, if he stuck with stand up, he'd be clearly like probably like the 1-1 in this entire thing. I think his stand up to me is funny, and Bill Burr's had misses. Like he's had spin ups where I don't think they were very funny. Eddie Murphy, everyone I've seen has been extremely funny, so I gotta go Eddie Murphy. Eddie's gonna win, but
I would have went Burr.
You would have went Burr.
Yeah,
Eddie. I think I voted against Burr in round one.
Mm-hmm.
Burr would probably.
Wait, who did I vote against Burr round one with?
Against George Carlin.
Oh, wow.
You're looking back on that?
No. It's like, I think Carlin could have won that, and then, you know.
Even if Carlin won, though, I think Eddie would have beat Carlin.
I would have taken Eddie here.
Fair.
Yeah, I would have, too.
I would have won.
Dave Chappelle versus Steve Martin.
Chappelle by 1,000,000,000 bazillions.
I'm so over the Steve Martin thing. I'm so happy Chappelle's
I really like Steve Martin, but Chappelle by
I like Steve Martin a lot, too.
We've been shocked by a lot of opinions. The Steve Martin worship on this podcast. That's the one that kind of has taken me the most off guard.
To watch like 2 minutes.
I don't put him in that upper echelon like I do with others. I don't know.
Put him near Chris Rock is like, I don't know. Continue. It's beautiful.
I look at Steve Martin more of an actor.
Yes.
Well, because he quit stand-up.
Yeah, he stopped doing it.
Right, but
he retired because he could only play stadiums and he couldn't connect with the audience anymore.
Didn't, like, Eddie Murphy I look at as just an all-time comedian, even though he hasn't really done stand-up in 30
years. Like 40 years.
Yeah. That's just your perception. I mean, I don't know how.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's I mean.
Yeah, I would pick Chappelle here, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve.
I would go Chappelle here too, but once again, I mean, this is much closer. I'm only fighting that this is closer than people are saying. It really is. But Chappelle is my vote as well. Chappelle's that great, but Steve Martin's really good.
I mean, Chappelle talking about his like white friend Chip. Like I could watch
Chip,
that.
No Chip.
Yeah, like I could watch that on replay.
Cheaper by the Dozen, dude.
Cheaper by the Dozen is a great movie.
I do love Cheaper by the Dozen.
A fantastic movie.
Really sad. The frog dies.
The frog. Yeah, Beans. What's the kid's
name?
Right. Not, so but it wasn't sad. Beans from. But although that Beans was in the movie, I'm pretty sure he was their neighbor.
Also, yeah, Steven's Beans. Right. Can you just put a still shot or maybe like a quick video of what Chappelle's wearing? Like just like the baggiest clothes.
Oh, in the early 2000s ones? Yeah.
Just the best.
Chappelle versus Eddie Murphy.
Also, wow. Chappelle has invented the banging the microphone on the knee
move. Did, yeah. That was his little. His
which bit. Cannot be overlooked.
Chappelle versus Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Wait. Is this Final Four?
This is to go into the finals versus Mulaney.
Who did Mulaney go against?
Mulaney beat Norm. Mulaney beat Rodney Dangerfield.
This feels like we did two sides of the bracket.
Mulaney beat like Richard
black and
Pryor.
White, you're saying?
Yeah. One side was Mulaney versus McDonald's, and then side was actually against Eddie.
I was worried about that.
Yeah, there was almost entirely... Oh, okay, no. Richard Pryor was on the other side. Okay, yeah, but it is the white...
Wait, you never... Speaking of that, you never... I understand there's reasons, but like Bill Cosby, we should at least... He should have been in the playing game. No, Bill Cosby was...
This is like wrestling fans. We're like, well, Chris Benoit had some good matches.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say Bill Cosby was the... He was the first one to really sell, like, records. Mm-hmm. Like, to that level. Like, yeah.
Well, then let's put some credit where credit's due on the biggest comedian in terms of cassette sales of all time, which is who?
Biggest comedian.
Oh, Dice? So, mentioned Dice either.
The Dice Man can be included, but that's
not. Why would I know?
Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Here's your sign.
If I was going to pick anyone from that crew, it would be like Ron White or Engvall or like one of those guys. I would not.
Not Larry the Cable Guy?
You can't compare Bill Cosby. No, Bill Cosby, not a good person, not saying that, but Bill Cosby's comedy was revolutionary. He changed the game. Jeff Foxworthy's a hack. Like, it might be a redneck if, like, I mean,
I think the blue collar comedy tour did something like they just sold out arenas for 2 or 3 years straight.
Yeah.
Just a juggernaut of comedy.
In like Biloxi, Mississippi.
Just an absolute juggernaut.
Like Tater or whatever, or they. Fuck.
Yeah.
Tater.
I might go home and watch that. Like, I remember, I don't know, 13 years old. At a family function, maybe a wedding, and we all just piled into one room around the one person who had a laptop at the time, and we were just
watching
it. Watching Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
I'm not saying that we're not funny or anything. It's just like in this scope, it's not going to make it. And the same thing with Bill Cosby. Like, that's not...
I will say this, every stand-up you like listening to grew up on Bill Cosby.
Worshipping like Bill Cosby.
Not the Cosby Show. I mean, his stand-up stuff.
Yes.
I mean, that's just...
You're right. We should have acknowledged that, but it's not that fun to talk about, to be honest.
It is. Well, I know. It's happened.
It's the rape thing.
I get it. It still happened, though. It's Chappelle
versus Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, it's only because Eddie Murphy had really two major specials, and Chappelle has just a giant body of work. So, Chappelle.
Gotta go Chappelle for this.
Both great.
Dice, first comedian to sell out MSG.
And he did it two nights in a row, I think. Yeah,
Dice should have been probably on
and
here, too.
You know, another...
You want to talk about, like, hacky-ish stuff.
Hickory dickory.
No, but he was mocking it.
Yeah. This chick was sucking my cock.
That's satire. Like, he was obviously fucking
good
around.
It's good stuff. You know, Dice is funny.
Entourage.
Dice
is very funny.
Another comedian that sold out MSG that wasn't even in a play-in game, Aziz.
We mentioned Aziz before. That's just one, like, in this scope.
He wouldn't be mentioned.
You know what I mean?
It's just, he was that massive of a comedian.
I went to watch him at MSG. He was a star.
Did you actually?
Yeah, he was amazing.
I also think
you're a good stand-up special.
Something's happening with MSG, though.
You think
everyone can sell at MSG. I know.
MSG.
It's weird. Like, yeah, bands you've never
growing
heard
Growing up,
could
I thought it needed to be like Justin Timberlake.
Now,
like, fucking
social media these
days.
Whoa! He made a state champ. What the fuck?
Podcast. Wow. Even all-time low can
what
do
the
it
fuck,
now.
Bro.
It seems like everyone's selling MSG.
Everyone can sell it. I didn't appreciate the dig at one of my favorite bands.
Sorry.
A comedian who's big on, like, TikTok, like a Matt Rife.
He did just sell out.
That's what I'm saying. So you don't have to be a great comedian to sell out MSG.
You just need to, like, market yourself well.
Yeah,
like, basically.
And Rife is. I can't get through.
There's something about since COVID, everyone's playing MSG.
It does seem
COVID ruined it. COVID ruined Madison Square Garden.
They did.
COVID ruined. Parcel ruined everything.
Chappelle versus Eddie Murphy.
Chappelle.
Chappelle.
Easy Chappelle. Because of what Clemmer said, it's the longevity. Yeah. Like, at their peak, they're very neck and neck.
Now it's tough.
Yes.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy has like 18 children, right? Not that plays any bearing here, but he does, right?
From Levy has a lot of kids.
Now, can I include Shrek in Eddie Murphy's?
Okay,
it's not stand-up.
You do a good
so
Shrek. Give us a little Shrek.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
I am an ogre.
There it is.
Donkey.
That's the clip.
Eating waffles. What does he say?
And in the morning, I'm making waffles.
Yeah, that was it.
Donkey is fucking legendary.
It's funny.
fucks the dragon.
I mean, yeah. Nutty Professor. Eric. Holy moly.
At the time, very funny. Let's, at the time, when you're a kid watching Nutty Professor,
yeah,
that's
when
great.
You're a child, yes. Yeah, so,
Coming
yes.
to America.
Coming to America is just flat out fucking funny. Beverly Hills Cop is a good movie. Oh, Coming yes. to America, so like, I don't know. Like,
ooh, you know another
mention,
comedian.
Mention the actual good movies yeah. first.
A comedian that could have been not just a play-in game, Cat Williams.
He was another one. When somebody mentioned him, I was like, I got to include him into the plan. I should have. I
wrote him. Pimp Chronicles with the green jacket.
Yeah, Chronicles,
that might
one,
be my favorite set, my favorite special ever.
That was one special, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's like, really that just that one special of his.
He's so funny.
I feel like when everyone thinks of Cat Williams, I think of the green.
I think of that, and I think of that radio appearance he did where you just destroyed that woman's life. You've ever seen that? Where she's like trying to make fun of him, like, oh, that hair's fake. And he's like, run your gnarled fingers through this. It's like, it's 18 inches, no perm. He's so fucking funny.
Speaking of boys, I have to run to a train.
Hit the last one.
Eddie would be
Chappelle
my
versus,
sorry, Chappelle.
Chappelle versus Mulaney.
Yeah, Chappelle.
One for Chappelle.
Wow.
Nate.
This is the finals.
Chappelle versus Mulaney.
Jeez Louise. Outside of Rock, like, two of the most influential comedians on me for sure. It's Chappelle.
I think it's Chappelle.
It's Chappelle. It'd be very difficult for me to pick Mulaney over Chappelle because, again, Chappelle, I think, has, like, at least off the top of my head that I could think of, like four or five specials where I was like, holy shit, that's really good. Mulaney has, like, two?
Three, yeah.
I think he's got three, yeah.
Two, max three. Chappelle has more.
Yeah.
So I would have to go. And Chappelle's just significantly more influential.
Can I say something? I would have taken Rock over Chappelle.
You're taking Chris Rock over Chappelle?
Yeah.
I think that's a little crazy.
I would vote for Chris Rock to
I'd
win.
I'd go with Mulaney here, but I'm going to lose.
You'd go with Mulaney over Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, but it's very close, and it's like...
Why is that?
Mulaney makes me laugh harder. It's like... Chappelle is more...
His newer stuff is translated away from...
Like, I just think, like I said, New in Town might be my favorite comedy album ever, so like that... like. But we're comparing, like, Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. Like, all right, they're both awesome. So, like, which one's more awesomer?
Yeah.
Like,
See, Chappelle, I could take points away because I don't love that now he... It's almost like he's moved away from making jokes. He just says stuff. Just
says stories.
Yeah.
Like, storyteller.
He just goes...
Modern Chappelle is
he just goes, trans people. And, like...
I don't think that's what
you know.
I think he's become more... He's a bit more intelligent than that.
It was an exaggeration.
I know, but, like, I think that's a shorthand. And I hear you guys, like...
I think he takes liberties with being Dave Chappelle now. Where, like, you know the thing about Steve Martin, one of the things he says about why he stopped doing stand-up is people would laugh and cheer and clap no matter what he said. Because it was just like, that's Steve Martin, we're gonna laugh. And it, like, he almost, like, he didn't like that. He didn't have to work for the laughs anymore. I think Chappelle now is relying too much on the fact he's Chappelle.
He does go out and do, like, 3-hour sets blackout drunk and just, like, mumbles.
Or hasn't he done that for a long time?
I think it's becoming a regular thing now. Yeah.
And you can't have phones out at his shows, so he just chain smokes and is blacked out. Like, there's people who have seen him who are like, he was god awful because he was just blacked out.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as taped specials, good shit.
Oh, right, great. Right. He's the GOAT.
Yeah. So that means the winner of this bracket, episode 156, is Dave Chappelle. I think
it's a worthy. That's very worthy. That's a fine. Yeah.
Very, very worthy winner.
You should send him a plaque or one of those little trophies you got.
Yeah. We know we'll have no episode next week, but we'll see you guys back in the new year. Hope you guys, all the stories, anyone listening to the bracket, have a great holiday, whatever you celebrate. See you guys next year.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at StellaBlueCoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off. We'll be right back.
The all-new Whoop is here. Now more advanced than ever. Train smarter, sleep deeper, recover faster. Extend your healthy years. Understand your cycle phases. Now 7% smaller with 14 plus days of battery life. So your data never stops, and neither do you. Power your best performance with memberships made for every goal. Join Whoop today.